been looking at the reign of Christ. If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Picture in your mind, and we're not going to go all the scriptures, we've looked at some, but picture in your mind for just a few moments and try to get this and concentrate upon two, three things about the millennial reign. As we get into the teaching, you'll need to be able to picture this in your mind. There's four different groups or individuals that you need to know who and what they are and what they're doing during this reign. First of all, Jesus. He comes back, and the reign is all because of him. Now, get in your mind that when he first came, John the Baptist was sent to announce Jesus is coming, the Christ, the Messiah. The message that John the Baptist preached was repent, for the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was warning and he was announcing to the nation of Israel that if they would receive Christ, the Messiah, they could go into their kingdom in which he's going to reign. The Messiah would reign upon the throne of David. So we have John the Baptist preaching that message. Then Jesus steps up and he begins his ministry and he's preaching the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When he taught the disciples how to pray, he said, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus was announcing to Israel that if they would receive him, that he would induct the kingdom and he would have the kingdom that they had been told about in the Old Testament, in which he would reign the son of David, the Messiah, that he would reign over them. And Israel as a nation would be exalted once again. Several things would happen. The disciples were sent out to preach the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But the Bible says that Jesus came into his own received him not. So Jesus was rejected, and the kingdom, therefore, because the Messiah was rejected, the kingdom couldn't come yet. In God's foreknowledge, he knew what he was going to do, that because Israel's rejection of the Messiah, which was prophesied, that Christ would come and die, and he would establish through his death a means of which a body could come and be saved, and they could be the bride of Christ. And he would have a bride throughout eternity of saved individuals that would save by the believing in the gospel of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection, by the grace of God. Then we find that he told Israel, he wept over Israel because he told them that the temple was left desolate and they would no longer need the temple because of the church age that began. Now, once the church is taken out, once Christ comes back and establishes his kingdom, Ezekiel tells us, we'll probably see this before we finish up, that there's going to be another kingdom or temple during that kingdom. And they're going to come to Israel, they're going to come to Jerusalem again. And Christ is going to be there. But during this reign of Christ, during his kingdom upon the earth. The kingdom upon the earth, as we said and we looked, is going to last 1,000 years. And we'll look what happens afterwards later on without me spending a lot of time. So we know that Jesus will be here and he will be reigning. He will rule with a rod of iron. He'll make all decisions and all government during this reign will be done from him, from Jerusalem where he's at. Now, those of us who are saved as part of the church and the Old Testament saints, we will have our resurrected bodies. We will be part of the first resurrection. We will have our resurrected bodies and we will go in to the kingdom with our resurrected bodies, and we will be on the earth reigning with Christ as God had prophesied that we would. He tells us we will reign. In 2 Timothy, I'll turn there myself real quickly and read this and come back. 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 12, let's see here. I'm in 1 Timothy, no wonder I didn't. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, he says, if we suffer, we will also reign with him. And so therefore, he lets us know that we will be reigning with Christ upon this earth. Now, we will be, again, you got to picture this before we get into some more difficult issues of the reign of Christ. We that are part of the church will be raptured out. We've gone through our judgment. We've gone through the marriage. We come back with him. And we will reign with him. Now, there will also be sinners that will be upon the earth during that time that will be born upon the earth. But today I want to look and see and remember that we read Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. This 1,000 years, Satan will not be there. So he will not be deceiving people. He will not be influencing people. But people that are born during that time will still have their flesh. They'll still have the flesh and nature that they've got. And we'll be in resurrected bodies. We won't be having birth. Only the people that go into the kingdom from the earth from the tribulation time. This morning we want to see where that happens. Look if you would in Matthew chapter 25. We're going to begin reading in verse 31. This is called the judgment of the nations. Now you got to picture this and how this falls prophetically. The judgment of the nations is when Christ comes back to the earth. Revelation chapter 19 describes that with all of his saints. He's coming back to the earth. He's coming back to reign. When he comes back, he will be faced with the Antichrist and false prophet, all those who took marks of the beast, and they will make war against the Lamb. And out of his mouth, he will defeat them, and they will be cast in the lake of fire. Now, look if you would in chapter 25, and he talks about that he's going to bring the nations before him. Look, beginning in verse 1, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. This is when he comes back to the earth and he sits on his throne. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Now, let me say this. When I came to this church, I had to correct this. Many people who come from United Baptist Church hangs on to the thought that there is just at the end of this life, there's just going to be one general resurrection. Most of them gets that because of a book that's dealing with the ordinances and stuff of the church by the guy wrote by the name E.M. Pendleton. And most of them hangs on to this idea of a general judgment. In other words, it all goes to the end, and at the end, sheep goes to the right, goats go left, goats hell, sheep heaven, one resurrection, or one judgment. But it doesn't, but they try to spiritualize the tribulation time. They try to put us in the tribulation time. They claim that there will not be a reign of Christ for 1,000 years and that it does not exist. But you can't take the scriptures and put the whole piece together without understanding that there is a reign of Christ. Many holds to Pendleton's teaching and many other teachings about this reign and tries to spiritualize the whole thing. But as we said, Christ, the apostles, John, all was proclaiming it. And now here we're seeing and Jesus explains what's going to happen when he comes back. Now remember, this is at the Battle of Armageddon. He's defeated the Antichrist, the false prophet. And now he takes the nations and the sheep and the goats. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So those that are going to inherit the kingdom are going to be on his right hand and be called the sheep. The Bible says in verse number 35, he says, For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Now, so here he says, now you've got to remember what's happening right before Jesus comes back. As we saw the tribulation time, things are going to get darker and darker. The Antichrist is going to make war upon Israel. Israel is going to have to flee to Petra and the places that God prepared to hide in the mountains. They're going to be, you know, Hitler and the Jews and the situation with the Jews was a forerunner of what the Antichrist is going to do at this time. He's going to declare all out war on Israel, the woman that brought forth the son out of her. Satan in chapter 12 of Revelation is going to be put cast to the earth, and he's going to come with a vengeance upon the woman that birthed the son. And here the Bible makes it plain that it will be the nation of Israel. Israel will have to hide. They will be persecuted. They will be hunted. There will be people on the earth that will be saved during that time. And as we saw already, many of them will be martyred. Their heads will be cut off. They will be slain. It will be a dangerous time to be a Christian during that time. Others will take Israel and hide them and keep them from the Antichrist finding them. Now remember, during this last half of the tribulation, you can't buy or sell anything without the mark of the beast. So here they're having to scrape for food. Food's going to be scarce among those who are saved. And for them to take and share it with Israel and other people that's seeking refuge from the Antichrist and for the persecution of his army is going to be something else. Just like if you go back in the days of slavery, some people who thought slavery was wrong and tried to be part of the railroad getting people out, when they were caught, they were killed, prisoned, persecuted. In Germany, when people were caught hiding the Jews, they were jailed, killed, and persecuted. During the tribulation time, people caught trying to help Israel out will be killed, persecuted, and martyred in different ways. Now notice here, the ones to the right, He said, you're going to enter into my kingdom. And then he goes on, he said, now when I hungered, and I was you gave me meat, thirsty you gave me drink, stranger you took me in, naked you clothed me, and you visited me while I was in prison. You came unto me. Look in verse 37. Then shall the righteous, and those that calls them righteous, some people says, well, those that go into the kingdom may not be saved. I used to think that too, but more I got looking at it, he calls them the righteous here. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in and naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my what? Brethren, ye have done it to me. Now, you have the righteous, you have the unrighteous, so who's the brethren? The brethren is Israel, his brethren, the nation that's going to be persecuted. The Bible says in verse 41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. And in prison, ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and a thirst, a stranger, naked, or sick, or in prison, did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So now picture this a moment. We have, and you've got to picture, we looked at the first resurrection. I showed you there was three groups that takes part in the first resurrection. Who are those three groups? Anybody remember? Who are they? Who was resurrected when Christ was resurrected? Huh? Yeah, the Old Testament saints. Before Christ, at Christ's first fruits, when he was resurrected, Matthew 27 says that those that were held captive was brought up with him. The graves burst open, there was a resurrection. Then there will be a resurrection of the church age, us, the saints. That's what we refer to as a rapture. The Bible talks about catching away and being called away. That's what's next. Then the tribulation time, then the tribulation saints. Now remember, and there will be resurrected, the gleaning. Now remember, it was those that will be resurrected of the tribulation will be those who have been killed. Those who are alive, that are saved, will not be part of the resurrection of the tribulation saints. It will be those that are up in heaven. Remember in when the fifth seal was opened in Revelation chapter 6, verse number 9, when the fifth seal was opened, the souls of those that had been beheaded, those that had been killed, upon the earth during the tribulation time. They were asking God how long until he took vengeance upon those who'd killed them. And he said there was others that was going to come. And so he had to be patient. They had to be patient in waiting. But now think about this a minute, because if you don't get this clear, then you don't understand where the kingdom starts and where it goes. So here you have the Old Testament saints. They died and went to Abraham's bosom before Jesus resurrected. Abraham's bosom and hell was both in the lower parts of the earth, divided by a great gulf. Many scriptures define that and tells us that in the lower parts of the earth, remember Christ said that he would have to go and descend to the lower parts of the earth. The only sign they would have, the sign of Jonah, he was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He went down there. Paradise, Abraham's bosom. Hell, Hades, hell. Hades, the hell that's in the lower parts of the earth, is the waiting place of lost people until the great white throne judgment. A great gulf divides the two. When Christ died, he went down there 3 days and three nights. He come out and graves begin to bust open. People begin to see many of the saints that slept, the Old Testament saints. They resurrected with him. He led captivity captive. Now paradise is in heaven. It was in the heart of the earth. Jesus told the thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise and heart of the earth. Now Paul says, I was caught up in paradise into the third heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So the Old Testament saints have resurrected, got resurrected bodies. Then when the rapture takes place, what we refer to as rapture, the dead that's died since Jesus' resurrection and the first fruits of those who resurrected with him, those who have died since then, that's up in heaven right now, their soul is coming back with Jesus. The dead in Christ will rise first. Their bodies will be reunited, and then those which are alive remain when he comes back in the clouds shall be caught up together with them. Thessalonians chapter 4. Then the tribulation. Then, of course, we talked about those who died and persecuted, killed, martyred, will be the gleaning part of that first resurrection. Okay, now, all the saints that's died during tribulation time is up with the Lord. Underneath the golden altar, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, verse number 9. Then Christ comes back. This time when he comes back after the tribulation, every eye sees him. Israel sees him. All the world sees him. The beast and the false prophet down here. And Satan is all upon the earth. People has taken the mark of the beast to buy and sell and do the things that's required. They followed the beast. They followed the false prophet. They've been persuaded. Great armies, great people, great numbers. And then here, there's a battle going on. A battle against Israel. And a battle against certain ones. And so, when that's taking place, and the summation of that campaign of wars comes together to a head at this great last battle, when the blood is going to flow to the horse's bridle, Christ will come back and they will see him. Everyone, and he will come back. And Revelation chapter 19 told us that the beast and the false prophet was cast into the lake of fire to be tormented. Satan, in chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, will be bound for 1,000 years. So get this, beast and false prophet gone, Satan bound. Then Christ, which has come back to the earth, come to the Mount of Olives. Now he's come where the battle at Megiddo is taking place, and he brings all nations. How he does this, I don't know. All nations are gathered. And he judges those nations. How God does a great judgment like this, I don't know. It's no different than he does the judgment of the judgment seat of Christ with saints. I don't understand how he's going to do all the thousands of millions of people saved. I don't understand how that, but God accomplishes it. Just like the great white throne judgment, when all the lost out of hell is going to be brought before him, they're going to stand before Christ. He's going to judge them. I don't understand how he's going to judge millions and millions and billions of people. But God's going to perform that judgment. Here he performs a judgment of the nations. Now, he tells us something in Matthew chapter 25, that those who are lost are going to be put on his left hand and cast into hell to be tormented. Those who are saved, the righteous, are going to be sent into the kingdom. Now get this, because we're going to pick this up next week and we're going to start looking at the kingdom. Now remember, those who have took the mark of the beast, Revelation chapter 19, along with the beast and false prophet, are cast into hell. Those who have not took the mark, those who are saved, that has not been martyred, those that have protected Israel, and those that was a remnant of Israel that's been saved during the tribulation time. Now, Christ comes back. They recognize their Messiah. They recognize his rightful place to reign. And he starts his kingdom. And he starts his kingdom with the righteous of the nations that was here when he come. And Israel, they come into this kingdom. Now next week we will start when he comes into his kingdom. We're going to look at society in his kingdom. Now you've got an idea who's going to be in his kingdom. We're going to be there with resurrected bodies reigning with Christ. His holy angels are going to be with him. But there's going to be people in their natural bodies coming from the tribulation into the kingdom. Now he will rule over them and he will set up a society that the Old Testament scriptures, and you can't deny all the Old Testament scriptures that talks about what he will do in his kingdom. And to try to make this his kingdom, you're wrong. To try to make the kingdom some spiritual thing, you're wrong. It's a literal kingdom. God has established that. There is more scripture that deals with his kingdom than any other subject in the Bible. Christ has been, God has promised that Christ will reign on this earth. And then after 1,000 years, this old earth will be done away with, we'll see, and a new earth will be there, and he'll reign forever in that new earth, over that new earth, but at this time he will reign and fulfill the promises to Abraham and to the nation of Israel and to his descendants. So the kingdom that they were all looking for, they couldn't receive at the time because they were ignorant to who Jesus was. But when they recognize him and see whom he hath pierced, Malachi says, when he comes back, they will come into this kingdom. But now picture this and get this in your mind, and we'll pick this up next week. In this kingdom, Satan will not be there, but there will be people born for 1,000 years. There will be a lot of new births. Everybody born in this kingdom is not going to be saved. And there's going to be thousands and thousands and thousands of people born in this kingdom after they go in, after the judgment of the nations. And so for 1,000 years, you imagine, since Jesus died 2,000 years ago, imagine half that time how many people have been born. Imagine how many births we'll see then. So think about that, and what we'll do is we'll pick up that up next week and picture in your mind who is in that kingdom and what's going on. And we'll pick it up and we'll look at society and how things will be in that kingdom. Let's go ahead and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our word as long as you can. Be with us throughout the remaining part of service. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.